I have just a little bit of a disclaimer before I start to share the message with you this morning, and that is that the material that Christine and I use in our preparation for worship Sunday by Sunday comes to us from an ecumenical source called Seasons of the Spirit. This particular program we have been following for over 20 years. In fact, it was originally called the Whole People of God, and then it was reformatted and has been now for quite some time. As I say, it's an ecumenical resource and it's based upon the readings. However, the disclaimer that I have this morning is the fact that because we've travelled around a fair bit and have introduced this series to different parishes, we've got a little bit out of date. And so the material that we're using at the present time is 3 years old. But that does not deter, I trust, from the message that we share. Now, I'll make reference to that a little bit later. The passage that I would like us to look at today follows on from last week's family service, and it is a little more of the story of Jacob. Now, in our Bibles, we'll find this in Genesis chapter 28. For those of you that have access to the Pew Bibles, it's at page 27. Only page 27, chapter 28, that'll be confusing, won't it? The story so far is this. Last week we mentioned Abraham and how Abraham had Isaac, and then Isaac had Esau and Jacob as twins. And last week we were talking about the conflict that arose between Esau and Jacob, and how Jacob came off not only with the birthright, but he also walked away with a special blessing that was given to him by Isaac. Jacob's mother, the wife of Isaac, Rebekah, is just about where we pick the story up. Because Rebekah has realised that Esau is far from a happy camper. He's far from happy. He's lost his birthright. He's lost his special blessing. And he has his eye set on Jacob and taking revenge. So Rebekah goes to Jacob and says, "Son, clear out. Leave until your brother's anger has settled." And so Jacob leaves. Now, geographically, they are a little southwest of where Jerusalem is, and Jacob heads north, and he's heading to a place called Haran, which is further north in the Middle East area today, round about Damascus. And so Jacob has been walking all day and he gets tired. And that's where we pick the story up, first of all, at Genesis 28, verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Now we have to realise something. Jacob was the one who liked staying at home. Esau was the one that was out in the fields. Esau was the hunter. Esau was the warrior. Jacob was the quieter one of the two. Esau was his dad's favourite. Jacob was his mother's favourite. And so for him to be journeying by himself and finding that he could not reach his destination by nightfall, caused him some concern. Let's pick the story back up. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. That surely is an indication of how tired he was. As a young guy, I used to be a Boy Scout. And we had various camps and bivouacs and such, but I would never have thought of using a stone for a pillow. How uncomfortable would it be? You'd have to be very, very tired and weary to have selected a stone to lay your head. However, that's what Jacob does. And perhaps some would say it's little wonder in verse 12, he had a dream. But this is a special dream. What's it say? In which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the east and to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. And we'll just pause there for a moment. As I was saying to the children, remember that Abraham had been given the promise that he would have more descendants than the stars in the sky. And now in this image, I guess you could say God's been a little bit down to earth. And so, in many ways, Diane, you were right when you said that you have the descendants of Jacob in your house, and Janet said likewise, and we, because the dust of the earth. That's a nice little reminder, isn't it? So when our houses get dusty, it's biblical. It's biblical. It goes back to Genesis 28. It's okay. I don't know what it says about those who make a living out of cleaning up the dust. However, let's get back to the Bible story, because there are some beautiful things that are to be learned from just that much. That when Jacob has this dream, what are some of the significant things? Well, one very significant thing, I believe, is the fact that he must have told someone about his dream. Why do I say that? Because it's written here. It's written in the Bible. If he had a dream and told no one, how could it have been written down? Now, dreams are special things. I know they can be explained away by psychologists and psychiatrists that sometimes our dreams are the living out of our hopes and our expectations, and sometimes they are reliving events in our life. But you know, in the Bible, there are many people who dream dreams where God has been the instigator of the circumstance, and God uses the dream as a guide. Here is one of them. In a couple of chapters' time, we will hear about Joseph having dreams. And those dreams get him into trouble initially, but then he has other dreams and they get him out of trouble. The dreams that he has that get him into trouble, of course, are the dreams like the cattle and the sheaves of wheat, and where he is the hero in the story and his brothers lose out. And the dreams that bring him, I'll say, salvation, is when he's in prison, and the dreams that he interprets enable him to get out of prison and to fulfill what God has in store for him. There's another Joseph, the Joseph in the New Testament. Jesus' earthly father who has a dream that warns him. And as a result, he takes Mary and Jesus to Egypt. Around that time, there's another dream which the Magi, the wise men, have that warn them, don't go back to Herod. So dreams are important, but they must be shared so that their significance can be worked through. And so in this particular dream, Jacob is assured that he too will have descendants, more descendants than the dust of the earth, spreading all the way around the world. Let's read on. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. What an incredible gift that was given to Jacob at that time. That God was with him. God is with you and I. God is, I guess you would say, obviously God is in this place. There is that sense. We talk about, in some places, about the church being God's house. So we have come to worship God. But God is with us every moment of the day. In Psalm 139, we are reminded that God knows everything about us. God knows us when we are being knit together in our mother's womb. God knows us because God is before us, and God is behind us, and God is around us, and God knows our very circumstance. God knows the word before it's even on our tongue. So here is an example of Jacob being assured of God's presence. Now, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? Remember, he's just slept with his head on a stone. How uncomfortable that must have been. But now he's saying, how awesome is this place? How incredible, because he'd been able to realize that God was present. How awesome would our lives be if we acknowledged God's presence every moment of our lives? In the difficult times, as well as the easy times. Now, in some way, there is this image that Jacob has been uprooted. He's been taken from where he lived, and he is going on a journey to a place, and he's in an unfamiliar spot, but he has just realized that God is there. I wonder how he must have felt to have had to leave. Now, in the world today, there are millions of people who have had to leave their homeland, who have had to move somewhere else, who have been uprooted from their circumstance. The refugees that are walking this earth, who sleep at nights on the figurative rock, who sleep in the hard places. I want to share with you this short poem that I got from the Seeds of the Spirit material. It was written by a 14-year-old, given the fact that it was written 3 years ago. She's now 17 years old. However, let me share this image. I was a young but strong tree in my home, growing sturdy, taking the vitamins from the dark, rich soil to bear fruit of the sweetest type. Until I was transplanted, told to leave. I grabbed the soil harder with my roots, saying, this is my home, my only home. But even a strong tree like me can be moved. I took one last look at the place I knew so well. Getting farther and farther away every second until I was no longer home. I wanted to stay. I had no choice. I was uprooted. Jacob had been uprooted. He was in an unfamiliar place, yet he found God. There are many of us who move from place to place, who get uprooted by occupation, by family circumstance. For a whole range of different reasons, people have to move. But the beauty is, God is there. God is there ahead of us. God is there before us. God is there beside us. God is all around. So, let's just round off this story for a moment. In verse 18, early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel. Why did he call it Bethel? Because it was God's place. It was the place where he found God. That place had originally been called the town of Luz. It's 10 miles north of Jerusalem. It is still there. It has a different name, but the town still exists. The experience of Jacob still exists for us today because we have it recorded. Now, as we reflect on the message for today, I want to be able to share three questions with you. When have you been or felt uprooted in your life? When are those times when beyond your control you had to move to another place? What were the circumstances? How did you cope? How did you look forward? And how did you look back? Second, when has a dream or belief been an assurance or an encouragement to you? Very briefly, I'll tell you one of a very personal circumstance, and that was that in my final year at theological college, in the August of that year, the day before my birthday, as a matter of fact, but as I was looking forward to my ordination, my mum died. And my mum had always yearned to see me become the priest, become the minister. And she wasn't going to be there. Of course, life moved on. We came to December and I was ordained. My dad came up from Sydney. My sisters gathered and Christine and the family were all there. And we had this sense that mum was present. Mum was there. A short time later, I had a dream. And in this dream, my mum said to me, "You know, I was ill, and you know I would get there, and I would be there as best as I could." And I said, "Yes, mum, we had the sense that you were there." Now that dream, I know it can be explained away in so many different ways, but for me it was the consolation that I had been yearning for, and I believe that it was so much of God that I share it with you today. So when have you had a dream or a belief that has helped you cope with circumstances? And a third invitation that I have for you to reflect this week is, when experience God away from home so that you felt at home. Last Thursday, prime time, at the pastoral care group had a morning tea. It was an invitation extended to Christine and I that we did a presentation, and we shared the presentation with the different churches and the different parishes where we have ministered or been ministered to. And we started off in Sydney and we worked our way around New South Wales, and we ended up here in Queensland. Still support the Blues, but nonetheless, that's a different story. So in answer to that question for myself, when have I experienced God away from home so that I felt at home? Here, right now, experiencing God with you people, in the family of God that is here, to the point where we feel at home. So over this next week, I would invite you to think about that. How we can make this place even more at home for people who are journeying, in the same way that God made Jacob feel at home in the hardness of the soil and that heavy rock that he played his head on. He felt at home because he was able to find God. I'll leave those points with you to reflect on.